Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Tuesday edition. The Tausch winter sabbatical? I guess we're all kind of sabbaticaling for a couple days anyway. Edition. The hour three of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Without Jen or Chewy. So who does that leave? Edition. And the scheduled to appear, at least according to Chew, the new coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Evan Cohen, and Brian Bulaga, edition of Wilde and Tausch, a 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, and of course everything you need. In addition to video streaming live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube on the ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his very much disclosed location, the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios, he is the Good Karma Brands Hall of Famer. He is Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Gabriel, good morning.
Good morning, Jason. So with your open, and I know you guys talk about this from time to time. You were talking about it yesterday. I just want to let you know that my godson, my sister's youngest child, who is four, his name is Mark. So there are some young Marks running around out there.
Okay. Now, in fairness, though, why did your sister name your godson Mark, and did she consider Keith?
I don't think she considered Keith, no, but named him after my dad, whose name is also Mark.
And he is also her dad.
Correct, yes.
So, I love it. Mark is making a comeback, clearly, which is exciting.
Yeah, very, very much so, yes. So there was a little Marky running around at the Neitzel family Christmas.
Have you heard of any children in, say, Little Mark's preschool or elsewhere, either named Jason, which is a 1970s name, obviously, or Gabe? How are the Gabes doing? Gabe Kapler, Gabe Kaplan, Gabe Neitzel, Gabe... I'm struggling to come up with another Gabe. Sorry.
Gross?
No, it's fine. Yeah, Gabe Gross. Yeah, sure, certainly.
Who's Gabe Gross?
Yeah, baseball player. Yeah. Left-handed. He was a left-handed hitter in the 2000s.
Auburn quarterback turned Brewers outfielder, Gabe Gross.
Good one.
Thank you. Us baseball guys, Gabe and I, we got that one.
I feel like Gabe is one of those names that I feel has always, like, there's never been, like, a ton of Gabes. Like, I feel it's still a pretty rare name.
There's never a golden age of Gabes, is what you're saying? No golden age of Gabes?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of...
I don't think I've ever known another Gabe. Like, I don't think I've ever known another Gabe or, like, ever put another Gabe's, like, number in my phone.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. Now I'm going to start a, text message and see if Gabe Neitzel is the only Gabe I have in my phone.
I mean, the one Packers-related Gabe, I tend not to bring him up because he doesn't bring up great memories for people.
Gabe Wilkins?
Yeah, that's not a good one, Jason.
It gets Chewy all
kinda
fired
sat
up,
out,
kind of sure.
Sat out Super Bowl. Yeah, well, he sat out Super Bowl 32 because he was looking to get paid.
Protecting his investment. Yep. Yeah, Gabe's the only one. You're the only one. You're my one and only Gabe. Gabe. I also don't have Liam Cohen's cell phone number. I do have Evan Cohen's. If you missed
Evan
Jen,
Cohen's.
Gabe, and Chewy this morning, Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. All season long, he's been leading the Jacksonville Jaguars to the postseason, and we were unaware of it. So Chewy missed on that, but. We had some really good conversations today that I would like to carry over from your program, since you're mm-hmm. basically doing. Are you filling in for Rich Eisen too, or no?
No, but I will be on Freddie and Harry from 2 until 4. If you want to check that out later today on the ESPN app.
All right, so wow. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 7 to 9. Wildy mm-hmm. and Tausch, yep. 9 to noon.
Correct.
What do you just call Harry and Freddie, even though will there be Harry or Freddie with you?
No, I will be playing the role. I assume I'm playing the role of Freddie, but Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio does Matt and Myron on Sundays on ESPN Radio. We will be doing that show this afternoon,
okay.
Leading into bowl coverage on ESPN Radio.
Okay, so that'll be you'll be done with that. Is there a Marquette game or something? What else do you have on your docket tonight?
There is a Marquette game tonight, so we'll have Marquette pregame starting at 5:30 right here on 94.5 ESPN.
When you have a day like this, which, by the way, I just want to state for the record, I told you this both at Green Bay game day on Saturday, and mm-hmm. I told Jesse this as well. We would have made do without you if you would have liked to have had 3 hours where you didn't have to talk. But you being you, there's no stopping you. You're the show is the immovable object, obviously. I mean, we've got some pretty good heft here in terms of the primary characters. You're the unstoppable.
A couple years
force.
Behind the show, sure.
Yeah. So you're
look, I mean, people are taking off, but we got shows to do, Jason. You guys, I was so happy that you guys did a show last Friday. We did not on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but you guys did a show because, look, it is the holiday season, and a lot of people are taking off, certainly, but there's still Packers to talk about. This is a huge part of the NFL season, and we got to make sure we're there for our fans.
We do, and we owe it all to Jesse because Jesse chose to work. Tausch and I had decided to. But if Jesse says no, sorry, I'm going to be celebrating Christmas with my parents because they were sick when I was supposed to see them. We wouldn't have been able mm-hmm. to do it. So thank you, Jesse, for your service.
Well, look, I mean, Jesse, I know you guys give him a hard time all, you know, constantly. Jesse's got a long day today, too. He's going to be with Benny Brust on KBN later today.
I was going to ask you, Gabe, do you want to do the show with Brust? Because I don't know how that's going to go for him and I working together this afternoon.
Yeah, no, look, when I saw that on the schedule, Jesse, did I think it was an interesting pairing? Of course I did. So I'm very intrigued to see how that goes for the both of you.
Interesting would be a euphemism for what exactly there?
Well, I mean, KBN and even, you know, the show in spirit before that, Scalzo and Brust, they've been known to give Jesse a hard time, right? Like, they're the ones who gave him the nickname or the moniker of the Hall Monitor. So mm-hmm. the fact that Jesse and Ben are doing a show together for 3 hours, I find that interesting. I think it's going to be worth listening to.
I'm sure it will be. I am not scheduled to appear on that program. I appear on that program on Mondays. So I will, I'll have to choose between Freddie and Harry with Mac and Gabe or KBN with B and the N changing to Nelson. So I will, I'll figure out my programming decisions later on. Gabe, did you watch Monday Night Football last night?
I did tune into Monday Night Football last night. Terrible performance from the Rams. Matthew Stafford probably cost himself an MVP.
You think Drake May is going to win now, or you think it'll be Malik Willis?
I do. I believe over at Pottawatomie Casino. I don't think Malik odds are out, so maybe that changes. But I think it's minus 500 now for Drake May.
He's the fave. Look, I just saw from our old teammate and incredibly successful ESPN reporter, Sarah Barshop, who is basically the Rob Domofsky of the Rams beat, that Sean McVay made it very clear that his guys are playing. Now, they do have still something to play for, right? They can still get out of that five or six.
No, I think they're locked into six. I think they're locked into six now.
So now that becomes the question of whether they play the Bears or whether they play the Eagles, and that is undecided because we don't know who the two or the three will be. That obviously affects the Packers as well. They will either go to Chicago as the seventh seed or go to Philadelphia, and whoever they don't go to is who the Rams will go to.
I was wrong. They can get to the five. If they beat the Cardinals and the Seahawks beat the Niners, then the Niners would be the six. If LA loses or San Francisco wins, they are locked into the five. The six. So they can move up to the five, which is where you want to be. If you're a wild card team, you want to be in that five because that means you get either Carolina or Tampa Bay.
Yep. Who very well may win the division with a losing record. If Tampa wins that last game of the season, right? They will be 8-9 to win the division. So yes, that would be a favorable matchup. You would like to avoid certainly the defending champs and Chicago. Did it change your opinion of the Rams? Because I went into yesterday believing that the team that I did not, if I'm the Packers, that I wanted to avoid was the Rams. After watching that, now I'm not so sure. And I wonder if there is a version of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at our ESPN LA station and a Wilde and Tausch version at our ESPN LA station having the same conversation about their team all of a sudden, like we have had about the Packers, right? They have not gone in the right direction of late either. So is that just welcome to the topsy-turvy NFC, or is that signs that no one is really that good? What does that tell you?
For me, it makes me not believe in the Rams as much. I went into last night's game thinking they were the most complete team in the NFC. Because of, I like what they do defensively. Matthew Stafford makes me trust their offense more than I trust Sam Darnold out in Seattle. But the Rams have been terrible on the road. They're 5-4 on the road. And now they have to be on the road. Maybe they, you know, in some sort of wild scenario, they can host an NFC championship game. But if they have to go on the road for three games, they have proven they're not going to win three games in a row.
Yeah, you're right. I just.
But so that makes me not believe in the Rams.
I find myself wondering if we are myopic in our, because we had a good conversation, you and Jen and Chewy and I, this morning about the Packers and what are you thinking if you're Ed Policy, and I told you not to ask me that anymore. Like, I'm wondering if we are so focused on their faults that, and you're the national guy, Gabe Knight, are we so focused on the Packers' failings and faults that we have been less than informed on the fact that everybody in the NFC is pretty flawed? There are no complete teams, it would appear. We'll find out in the coming weeks in the postseason, but is that possible that we just have been fixated on the team that we focus on and their faults more than recognizing the other teams?
I think that happens just about every year, Jason. Before the Eagles game, I jumped on a station in Philadelphia and joined their show. And what their host and I just kind of went back and forth about the flaws of the teams that we most pay attention to. I don't know if it made us feel better about anybody heading into that game, and then they played a 10-7 game, which made nobody feel good. But I think that happens every year. We focus on those flaws of the team we cover the most close, but there's no really good team in the NFL, period, this year. Like I even feel more confused about the AFC than I do about the NFC right now, And but to the credit of Tausch, the one point, and I know he said yesterday he might back off of this, but I think that getting that number one seed is incredibly critical, because if you're an imperfect team, you want those flaws to be exposed as least as few times as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what that number one seed does. It allows you to jump over the wild card round. We're literally, I don't think you would be shocked at any outcome unless it ends up being the Rams in the five spot and, you know, the Buccaneers beat them. I think that would be surprising. But if the Rams go into Philadelphia and win, would you be shocked? No. If the Packers go into Chicago and win, I don't think anybody would be shocked by that outcome, given how that game played out 2 weeks ago and the Packers were dominating and the Bears hadn't scored a touchdown with 2 minutes left in the game. So I look at it as, okay, yeah, anything can happen in that wild card round, but because you're a flawed team with the Packers, I don't think you can just any given Sunday your way through a postseason. Like, at some point, the inconsistencies are going to pop up in a three-game run trying to get to the Super Bowl. And that's where having that number one seed, whether it ends up being Seattle or San Francisco, is going to be a huge boost. Because those teams, for Seattle, their flaws, their quarterback. You don't know if you can trust them in big games. For the Niners, it was on display on Sunday night. That defense is awful. But the offense is really good. But I think as we learned in 2011, it's really hard to win once you get to the postseason when your defense is as leaky as the Niners is.
Right. And in fairness to them, if they have Bosa and they have Fred, as Tausch would call him, Varner, they're probably not as leaky. They probably have a pass rush.
Correct.
Right? And if the Packers have
18 sacks this year. Woof.
Right. And if the what are the Packers sack numbers without Micah Parsons?
All right, I'll look that up.
It's
going to make me sad. The number's going to make me very sad, Jason. Just know that you're going to have to deal with a sad me for the next 2 hours and 45
that's
minutes.
That's really why I'm here. That's kind of what I aim to do. Usually it's Strofe, though, that I'm making sad. So my point is that these teams that are flawed, they are also missing key pieces. And I understand everybody is. I still think, and ifs and buts, candy nuts, et cetera, et cetera, I still think the Packers, with Micah Parsons and with Tucker Kraft, are a Super Bowl favorite. I think their flaws have become much more visible, largely because they are missing their two brightest stars that don't play quarterback. And that's not an excuse. I think
21
that's
just
and a reality.
Half sacks.
Yeah, so
21 and a half sacks without Micah.
Not much better. Not much better. But hey, maybe Rashawn Gary will get his 2.5 sacks on Max Brosmer, and he'll get to 10 after going 9 consecutive games without a sack. We will get into that. I also want to get into the story that I wrote on channel3000.com about Kingsley Enagbare's comments to the team after the game. I found this extremely interesting. We also have dueling poll questions that we need to check on the results of from yesterday. All of those things with Gabe Neitzel as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. He's in for Tausch, who's going to tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin before we return.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Is our cousin sub of the day. Jacksonville Jaguars coach Evan Cohen scheduled to appear coming up. I was surprised, Gabe, that this was not a bigger story. I don't think I'm being dramatic. But after the game, Lucas Van Ness said, and he made sure that he underscored the fact that Kingsley Enagbare brings it every single game. And I think you and I can agree on that, right? Like, he may not be as talented as Micah Parsons. He may not be as productive, but he doesn't cheat you on his snaps. Fair?
I think that's very fair.
Also played the most snaps of any defensive lineman, so he was not a high snap count guy in that game. He played 60 of their 76 snaps. So after the game, per Lucas Van Ness, and not disputed in any way by Matt LaFleur, basically Kingsley and Igbaré called guys out. Every time you step on the field, you know what 5-5 is going to give you. He's going to give you his all. He shared a little bit of that sentiment after the game, that you've got to leave it all on the field. He felt like some people didn't. I don't know about you, but I appreciate Lucas Van Ness for telling us this, because, as we all know, they don't show post-game speeches from losing locker rooms on the team website.
Nope.
This is, and I know that if you are a critic of Matt LaFleur, you will use this as he's not doing his job getting guys up for games. I personally would say that these guys are professionals. My expectation is they shouldn't need that. And by the way, is this a sign of some immaturity from certain players or whatever it might be, that this is an issue? We'll get into Rashawn Gary later in today's show. But Gabe, my question for you is, when he feels compelled to do that, and I'm not saying he's right or wrong, because I don't know well enough to know if there were guys not putting forth sufficient effort, but when this comes to light, what should Packers fans think?
Well, I tend to think it is right if he's doing that, because Evan Williams kind of hinted at the same thing.
He
was one of three guys who spoke after the game, and Williams kind of hinted at the same thing. This is concerning to me, because last year, at the end of the season, after they ended on a three-game losing streak, Tucker Kraft basically said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That they needed to weed out some of the guys that weren't putting forth efforts. And now it makes me wonder, Jason, if there's a larger issue, and this is something that Chewy talked about all the time, in their early days in Green Bay, you know, when Ron Wolf and Holmgren are just taking over, and Chew and Brett and all those guys are young pups. Like, there were guys that, I mean, Ron Wolf would cut guys to make an example out of, right? Like, hey, mm-hmm. you're not putting forth the right effort. We're trying to change the culture around here. Now, they're not in a similar spot where, again, we're in year three of Jordan Love being the starter, year seven of Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst operating together. But I wonder if that is an immaturity thing. If, okay, they had the same issue last year and it didn't get corrected. I don't know who I placed the blame on, but if I'm Ed Policy and I hear that and I've got some decisions to make, yet while I agree with you that that is something that I think should be on the players because you are professionals, but if that's something that you have to learn as you're young and you go and you don't have the veteran leaders to show you the way on that, I think that can be held as a negative against both Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. I think that can be held against them. If you're trying to make the decision, hey, they've got 1 year left on these guys' deal, do I keep them around? Now, again, ultimately, I think both should stick around. But I don't know what Ed Policy is thinking. And we talked a little bit about this, Jason, on our show today as well, where all the criticism seems to be lobbed more towards Matt LaFleur, and I think there's plenty of criticism that can go Brian Gutekunst's way as well. And I would attach those two at the hip. If I'm getting rid of one, I'm probably going to get rid of both and clean house. Again, I think both should keep their jobs. I think both should stay the course and be given at least another season to see if they can, right the ship and take that step forward next year, the problem being their current status on their respective contracts. But if we're talking about, hey, guys aren't given the right effort, and it's back-to-back seasons, we're talking about that at the end of the season, Jason, when mm-hmm. these games are the ones that mean the most, because, yeah, it ended up not being good, but the Packers still would have had they found a way to stop Derrick Henry, we'd be talking about, hey, they still got a chance at the division this weekend. We're not talking about who are they going to rest. Are they going to rest, guys? We know they're playing their guys, and we're rooting for the Detroit Lions because you still got a shot at the division.
Right. And the Detroit Lions under Dan Campbell have shown that when they have nothing to play for, they don't play like they have nothing to play for. So, I understand things have spiraled, right? They've lost three in a row. As you and I and Chewy and Jen talked about this morning, you know, they're human beings who lost their superstar to a clear... I mean, everyone in the building knew that was an ACL tear from the moment he grabbed his knee. There is no way that that does not affect you emotionally as a football player, as much as you want to be a cyborg. Just like your number one wide receiver, which is what I believe Christian Watson is, leaving the stadium to go to a Denver area hospital in an ambulance. Like, that affects you. So it's not excuse-making. They played a team that had won 10 in a row, and they were right there for most of the game until that bad stuff happened. Obviously, the Bears game falls apart in the end when they seem to be in complete control. And you have flashbacks to the 2014 NFC Championship game because it took you screwing up five different things, and you managed to screw them all up. And then, obviously, there's no excuse for how they defended, despite him being a Pro Football Hall of Fame running back. The fact that there were alignment and assignment errors on defense is inexcusable. Does that also mean that Jeff Hafley suddenly sucks as a defensive coordinator, that his guys didn't do what they were supposed to do? So I understand why
they lost. That's always the funny part to me, Jason, is like Jeff Hafley's... The fan base really loves Jeff Hafley. I really love Jeff Hafley.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But he kind of escapes. And it's the same thing with Brian Gutekunst. After he trades for Micah Parsons, the fan base is just enamored with him, so he escapes criticism. Like, guys lining up wrongly on defense, that would fall more on Jeff Hafley. But I guarantee you, more people looked at that as a criticism of Matt LaFleur than Jeff Hafley, who's responsible for the defense.
It's all because of Matt LaFleur's eyebrows. We need to get to Jaguars coach Evan Cohen. For those of you that did not catch Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, we're giving Chewy a little bit of a hard time because he meant Liam Cohen. Duval. And he said Evan instead. But Evan is going to join us coming up next from Unsportsmanlike. Want to remind you, Associated Bank has the best customer service in the industry. I've been telling you about that now for nearly a decade, and we experience it ourselves all the time. Paula, the girls, and I, they have been great for us, but that's what they do. They're great for everybody. It's not just for us. Whether it's early pay, so you have access to your direct deposit from your employer up to 2 days early, whether it's credit monitoring, so we knew that our credit was where it needed to be so we could buy our new Steinhoffel's living room set, or if it's fraud protection, and I needed that fraud protection when someone got my identity. Not sure who wanted to be me, but they wanted my money, and they made sure at Associated Bank that they didn't get it. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Right guy, Evan Cohen. Evan Cohen in Jacksonville. Crap. Turn them around. I just like, I'm so tired of spinning wheels, and I think there's a portion of the fan base that are with me.
Joining us now, I'm not even sure he knew he was the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but man, they're having a hell of a season. He should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. From Unsportsmanlike, live from Jaguars headquarters, it is Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Wow, I did not know that Chewy said that, Jason. And also, to be fair, Liam spells his name differently than I do.
He does indeed.
C-O-E-N, and I am C-O-H-E-N. So there you go.
Can you do a Duval, though?
No, not like he can. No, not like he can. You know, I had another thought about Coach of the Year. I don't know what made me think of this today. Should Kellen Moore be in the mix for Coach of the Year? If they win on Sunday, the Saints at 7-10 is a miracle. I feel like Kellen Moore, New Orleans Saints, which no one cares about in Wisconsin, so why am I bringing that up? But I feel like he should be Coach of the Year consideration. Gabe, you've been great so far this conversation.
He's got to rest his voice.
That's,
he's doing
I do my 14 best.
Hours of radio.
Yeah, he should be doing 15. Anyway, what's going on, guys?
So, Evan, Gabe and I were just discussing this, and we are both of the same mind. We are not advocating for either the coach or the general manager to be fired, even if they lose this meaningless game on Sunday in Minnesota. I personally think they're going to go to Chicago and win, but let's say they don't in the playoffs, or they go to Philadelphia and get beat, whatever ends up happening. You know, it feels to me like the fan base is very anti-LaFleur and that Goody gets a pass, and Gabe is on the same team. You, much like your frenemy, Tausch on this program, you guys are big Goody guys. And yeah. It just feels like from a lot of misses in the draft to paying Rashawn Gary to worthwhile questions about whether being this young all the time leads to immature behavior and questionable effort from some young players, which is an issue based on what happened on Saturday night, that he gets a pass. Are we wrong to feel that way?
Well, okay, so I don't think he gets a pass because I think if you're thinking about the complete body of work, which when you're talking about job security, you have to think about the complete body of work, no? I mean, yeah. You're talking about with LaFleur. Sure. The floor is not just this year. The floor is the multiple seven seats, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're thinking of over the course of time. So if you're going to do the complete body of work, in what world does Goody get a pass? Because he got annihilated around the Aaron Rodgers situation, including by you, Jason, and by Craig on Sundays and on Sunday Karma and others. Like, he was very much in the crosshairs of Packers fans and media. So I think the idea of Goody getting a pass is crazy because of the fact that you're then not looking at the complete body of work. Let's look at what Goody has done, because you're right. I am a defender. Has he brought in a franchise quarterback?
Yes. Apparently two of them, actually.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, yeah, Malik Willis is pretty damn good, if that's who you're referring to.
Yeah, that's. Oh, yeah. There are people who think there should be a controversy there.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I was thinking about whether or not he could be a starting quarterback for some team next year as a, we don't know, like, I'm in Miami right now. If I walk out of where I am, my brother-in-law is a huge Dolphins fan. If I say to him, I'll give you the option of Malik Willis next year for a year, and you can try him out, I guarantee you say, I'll take that in 2 seconds over Tua, right? Like, yep. So there's just an example right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so has Goody brought in a franchise quarterback? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. So already, you've done your job. Like, literally nothing else matters in this sport, as we've seen. And you could argue, and I know Gabe watches the All-22, and Jason, you're talking to the backup special teamers, but come on. For most fans, nothing else matters but a franchise quarterback. So check. Has he brought in, arguably, a top 2 to 3 defensive player in the sport?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does he have good young players littered throughout the roster?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what exactly what more would you like that man to do? I think LaFleur is the one, if we're going to make changes with the Green Bay Packers, hypothetically, if it's a one and done in the postseason, if you want to make changes, the head coach, to me, would be the issue more than the general manager. Because think about it this way.
So you're maintaining that not drafting a Pro Bowler since 2019, that's on LaFleur?
Well, there's player
development. They haven't had a Pro Bowl player that Goody drafted outside of the 2019 draft. That's the last time he drafted somebody who was selected to a Pro Bowl.
Do they have a franchise quarterback?
They do.
They do, but lots of teams with franchise quarterbacks don't win titles.
But as we've seen this year, you need more than a franchise quarterback. Chiefs, franchise quarterback, and I know Mahomes is hurt now, but they got eliminated. They were eliminated before he got hurt. The Baltimore Ravens are on the doorstep of getting eliminated.
But Lamar hasn't been healthy, nor has he played every game. But I think what you guys really need to do is take one step back and ask yourself the question that I'm asking, whether or not the answer is continuously and consistency, yes. When I say, do you have a franchise quarterback? Not are you paying one? Do you have one? Right? We know they're paying one to be that. Right? And if you yeah. think the answer is no, that Jordan Love is not that guy, then the Goody question is back on the table. But if I'm going to make one change after the season, if I am forced to make a change after the season, definitively for me it would be head coach over general manager. And I also will go one step further. I personally believe, that no head coach would be turned off by coming to the Green Bay Packers because Goody is there. Like, we started this talking about Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen initially said no to the Jaguars because of their general manager that was there in Trent Baalke. They made the decision to make that move to get rid of him, and they bring in Gladstone from the Rams. And then Liam Cohen's like, okay, I'll come there. So whoever you think is the hottest candidate, which may just be their defensive coordinator, but whoever you believe is the hottest candidate out there, that person, I don't believe, will be turned off by working with Goody. In fact, I think that person would be excited to work with Goody, knowing there's enough there that he has done in terms of the draft that a great coach, a coach that believes in themselves, could get more out of those players than the current coaches.
Talking with Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. So I want to circle back to
Can I flip the table on you for a second?
Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you guys were forced to make one major move after the season, if it is one and done, what is the major move?
I am requiring Matt LaFleur to change offensive coordinator and special teams coordinator. I think they need some new ideas. And it pains me to say that because I am a huge Steno guy, and I think he's a very good coach. I think he probably. You know, he was up for a couple of head coaching jobs. He was up for a couple of play calling offensive coordinator jobs. I think that's probably I think LaFleur probably needs someone who will challenge him with different ideas and have more outside of the system ideas for him. And I think that the special teams, as much as Rich Bisaccia means to their culture and means to Matt LaFleur as a consigliere. If I'm forced to make decisions that are a step shy of changing the head coach or the general manager, that is what I would do. I'm not saying they should do either of those, but I could see them saying, hey, we're not going to make a change, but we need to shake things up. That's what I can see. Now, go ahead, Gabe.
Is that far enough, or are we talking you have to let go of either Goody or LaFleur?
Well, Jason took an easy way out, but he had answers, so I didn't go crazy on it. But
there,
I mean, well, Gabe asked the right follow up. Gabe, so as
fire
Bisaccia.
Radical move there, Jason.
So, Gabe, then I'm not going to give you an easy way out. I never have, and I never will. So, Gabe, you have to make a radical move at the end of the year like I was asked to just do, and I said I would go coach over
to No, you asked yourself to do it. You can't – don't put that on me.
Well, good question and good answer, Liam.
Sometimes you have to ask yourself the tough questions.
That's right.
If it was up to me, I would attach these two at the hip, and if I got rid of one, I would get rid of both. But if I had to pick just one, I would probably go LaFleur just because I want the Packers to go back to the way things were. I've just based on some of the things Rob Domofsky has said, I think that Ed Policy eventually wants to go back to the general manager running things, and Policy doesn't have say over who the head coach is. And we've seen that if a general manager has to just inherit a coach, usually that coach is going to get fired, and it just kind of you end up, you know, in a middling, wasted season anyway. So if you had to pick one, I guess I would pick LaFleur just because I would want to see the Packers get back to general manager picks the coach, and then you have that way the way it was back in the 90s with Ron Wolf.
So, Gabe, I know you've thought about it. Let's just spin it positively for LaFleur. let's say LaFleur wins the lottery and says, I'm moving with my family to Hawaii. I'm out. I don't need this stress anymore. Peace out. So we're not firing him, but there's an opening. Who are you hiring?
See, so that's the thing. I was going through the list of, because I still want an offensive play caller. I know so much of the fan base would go, oh, you go get Jeff Hafley. But Jordan Love is still at a point in his career where I don't want to be cycling through offensive coordinators. Because if you have a good offense and a coordinator that isn't your head coach, chances are they're going to be looked at to be the next head coach. The way that
you were, Evan, before you took the job
with Jacksonville.
Right. On a side note to that, it's why I'm so excited about my team, the New England Patriots, long term. They hired an unhirable offensive coordinator. And he's the best offensive coordinator of my lifetime in Josh McDaniels. They're literally... of the last 30 years, there's never been a better offensive coordinator than Josh McDaniels, and he's unhirable as a head coach. It is perfect. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, but there's just no name as an offensive play caller this year that isn't a head coach that excites me.
Stefanski? Kevin Stefanski?
If Stefanski gets fired, I would be interested in Kevin Stefanski. Absolutely.
So right now, if you could have Kevin Stefanski or Matt LaFleur, next 5 years, you have to make a decision today. Who are you choosing?
Matt LaFleur.
Mm. Okay.
I would take Matt LaFleur.
If you could, what about Mike McDaniel?
Oh, yeah, I would take Matt LaFleur. I think Jason, Mike McDaniel is going to eventually end up in the same situation.
Would you take Mike McDaniel as your OC?
For Jeff Hafley as the head coach? Or from
no, in
Matt
your
LaFleur
scenario,
the head coach.
They're firing. Yeah, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I would, and those guys have a lot of history together, and I think he would give him some new ideas, even though they come from the same tree. Yes, I would do that. Would I hire Mike McDaniel if he got fired by the Dolphins and the Packers moved on from Matt LaFleur? I'm not sure I would. I'm not sure what to think of him and what his track record is.
Here's the problem with everything we're doing right now. Everything we're doing right now is completely 1,000% fair to do as we head into week 18 of the NFL season, which will see the Green Bay Packers make the playoffs yet again, not as a high seed, and potentially have an early exit. Potentially. Now, maybe they make a run like, you know, Rodgers and company in 10, but potentially. This has been, because of injury or not, a colossal failure of a season if that happens.
Yeah. Look, 3 weeks ago, I still thought that they were a legit. They'd won four in a row, and they were a legit contender to go to the Super Bowl. I didn't think they would, but you could certainly convince me. And then they lost Micah Parsons. And I understand that the 49ers lost Bosa and Warner. I understand all that. I don't think they're as bad as they feel right now. And if they beat the Bears in Chicago, if that ends up being their playoff path, and then they lose a back-and-forth divisional game, I understand it's a results-based business. I don't think that kind of a path is fireable for anybody. Now, if they lose a first-round playoff game and look bad doing it, I am certainly aware of what the realities are. I want to go back to one thing, though, that you said about... The roster, because we went through the 18, 19, and 20 drafts, which the only person who's left is Love. They play so many young guys, and we do see good moments from them that I find myself wondering if I think players are better than they actually are. Okay, so good young players, right? They got lots of – they stocked the roster with good young players. The 2021 draft, the only guy left from that draft is McDuffie. So from the first four drafts, Goody has two players left. The 2022 draft –
Well, he will have two players left next year because we're assuming they're going to move on from Rashawn Gary and LPJ.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Important correction. The 2022 draft, tell me how many of these guys are good young players. Quay Walker. I'm not sure what Quay Walker is.
I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend like I do.
Right. I have been a... I would like you to play along, Liam, but really I'm looking for Gabe's opinion.
Oh, good. Glad I'm here.
Quay Walker. Devontae Wyatt. Christian Watson. Ryan, Romeo Doubs, Zach Toms. Toms, the first one that I get to I can say definitively he is good. I think Christian Watson is good. I think Quay Walker is on the fringe of good. Kingsland Agbare, Rashid Walker. Those are all the guys that are left from that class. 23. Is Lucas Van Ness a good player? Is Luke Musgrave?
I thought he was definitely hyped to be much better. That's for sure.
Jaden Reed, I think, is.
Yeah.
Tucker Kraft, I know, is.
And not a great judge of a contest at the trio, judging a tie in a cooking contest.
Indeed, that was weak. I couldn't agree more.
That's very true. Very true.
Just pick a winner. My God, jeez.
Right.
Why was he there?
Pretty weak.
You know that you should knock him for that more. I bring it up a lot, actually.
Is Jordan Morgan a good young player? I thought Edgerrin Cooper was for sure, but now I think he's.
Wait, stop there. Stop there for a second. What happened to that guy? I thought the whole thing when they got Micah Parsons, everybody was like, "Oh, well, Micah Parsons, great." But wait till you see Edgerrin Cooper. I think this is the first time I've heard his name since the wait till you see Edgerrin Cooper. Has he done anything? Maybe he has. I don't even know.
He has had a lot of splash plays.
No, he's missed more tackles this year. Yeah, he's missed more tackles than he did last year.
But he was supposed to be the guy that everybody was like, oh, they found a star in that guy.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying
he did not progress.
I'm not saying the book is written on any of these guys yet. They're all still varying degrees of young. But that 2022 class, all those guys are hitting free agency other than Watson, who got a one-year extension, and Tom, who got the full extension. That's it. That whole group, I guess Devontae Wyatt has the fifth-year option, but the rest of that group, they're all going to be free agents. And I don't know if they have the financial wherewithal to pay many of them. So my point is simply, look, maybe... Well, and LaFleur deserves criticism. I am not standing here carrying water for him and saying he is above that. All I'm saying is, are we maybe also overvaluing a bunch of young players because they've played a lot? And maybe they're not as good as we assume they are because of how much they play. Maybe they play as much as they do because that's the way they've built the team.
Let me ask you a question. Two questions here. First off, are we changing narratives based on, like, blaming others? In other words, how do we leave last season, going into this season, talking about how good Edgerrin Cooper is, and now saying that Goody didn't have a good draft pick? Why don't we say LaFleur didn't develop him?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying that we know what Edgerrin Cooper is. He's not what we thought he was after last season, though. And right. Developmentally, Matt LaFleur is the head coach. The buck stops with him. But and I am as guilty of this as anybody. We all have glazed Jeff Hafley to beat the band. But that player has not advanced to become a field-tilting player. They went and traded for one, and then they lost him, and now they're trying to figure out. They feel to me, Gabe, on defense, like they are still totally throwing stuff against the wall to figure out what they are without Micah Parsons. That's what it feels like to me. And I don't know if they're going to figure it out or not.
Okay, second thing, and I assume the answer is yes. My guess is yes, and I would even have a destination for him. If Matt LaFleur was fired on a Monday after a playoff game, is he hired on Tuesday by another team?
By Tennessee?
Yes.
That would be my thought, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I think the Giants would be interested in LaFleur before they'd be interested in Hafley.
So what we have, this hiring cycle, I think, are a bunch of coaches that I think could potentially be out in one spot on a Monday and in another spot on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Not these coaches that are, oh, my God, this guy's terrible. He's not going to get another job. For example, Stefanski, LaFleur, while I'm not firing him in our hypothetical, obviously, the two guys in the AFC North who are playing on Sunday night, and the Ravens and the Steelers, and mm-hmm. Harbaugh and Tomlin, you know, they would be scooped up in 2 seconds. I mean, that's four or five coaches right there that potentially may be out in one spot and in another spot. I'll throw one other one. Sean McDermott, to me, I don't understand why he mm-hmm. has the job security he has in Buffalo. But this is the thing. LaFleur, it has nothing to do with him not being a good coach. It has to do with for how many years in a row us thinking, I should be a little bit better than this. There should be a little bit more than this. they should have gone a little bit deeper into the playoffs than this. Right? I mean, it's year after year. Is it not?
Yeah, 21 is the big blemish, right? They're the number one seed. They lose at home. They can't score a touchdown. Their special teams are atrocious. If they have a longer run there, let's say they make it to the NFC Championship game, he starts his career with three NFC Championship games. Now, again, that's great, but if you don't get to the big one, it's not nearly good enough. But that, I think, because then you make the transition to Jordan Love. You make the playoffs in his first year as the starter, which I would argue felt like an overachievement, especially based on how the first half of that season started. And then, obviously, last year they win a bunch of games, but not any against anybody good. And now you've seen where this season has gone. I just, I understand every team has injuries.
Based on that, if the Green Bay Packers had a single individual owner of the team, and they lose in the first round of the playoffs, is Matt LaFleur the coach next year?
I mean, I guess it depends on what kind, like the patience that the Pittsburgh.
Depends upon the owner, because look right. at, I mean, again, you look at what Pittsburgh and Baltimore and they do. If I mean, even Jerry Jones has had a ton of patience. I mean, Jason Garrett was the head coach there for how long?
You can't compare Pittsburgh and Baltimore because those guys won a Super Bowl. This guy has not gone to a Super Bowl.
Correct.
And again, Dallas,
I think it depends upon the owner.
See, this is the thing. I don't think you can compare Dallas because Jason Garrett played there. And when Mike McCarthy was the head coach, I wouldn't look at that as a ton of patience. Mike McCarthy was a dead man walking in that final year. For what reason? He won 12 games 3 years in a row. He was Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur for the Packers was Mike McCarthy in Dallas. You know, but I don't know how McCarthy may have had more wins. So I don't know that those are necessarily fair comps. Because this guy has not gotten over the hump.
Yeah, but like the Packers do have a president, and we just don't know Ed Policy, right? Like if Matt LaFleur was in Cincinnati, he'd stay there because Mike Brown doesn't want to pay two coaches, right? Like that's just the MO. So it all depends upon the owner. If you've got an impatient owner who wants to completely just fire guys and keep turning over and being bad, a la the Raiders, yeah, then you keep doing that. But it all depends upon the owner, and they do have a guy who is in charge of that.
We don't know.
Correct. We do not.
But we know the quarterbacks he grew up around, and when you have Montana and Young, you're used to winning Super Bowls, and when you have Rodgers and Love, you should be used to winning Super Bowls, and that's not the case with this team.
So
Rodgers won a long time ago.
Quickly going back to Jordan Love, because you want to give credit, Evan, to Brian Gutekunst for drafting Jordan Love. Doesn't Matt LaFleur get credit for developing Jordan Love? Because the first time we saw Jordan Love play, he was so bad that I think it factored into the decision of Davante Adams going, yeah, I don't want to be around here for this.
It definitely did. Mm-hmm.
That also
led to Goody paying Rodgers again.
Correct.
Okay. So at some point, we all need to, like, I feel like we all want Jordan Love to be the franchise guy. And I feel like, yes, I give Goody a ton of credit for drafting a quarterback when he wanted one, not when he needed one. And I give LaFleur credit for the development. But the development to be what exactly? He's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He's not going to likely be in the Super Bowl this year or the NFC Championship game. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this all changes. He's usually a guy that we say, oh, he's better in the second half of the season. He comes on late, which means he's a seasonal quarterback. I mean, I'm sorry. I got to be fair. My appreciation for Love has taken a little bit of a hit, which then it should mean that maybe Goody didn't get the right guy or LaFleur hasn't developed. However you want to look at this. These are ridiculous conversations we're having. Because none of these should be happening, and they're all happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so what could happen in 2 weeks is we sit here and we look at the Goody era, and we look at the LaFleur era, and we look at Love and his contract, and we sit there and say either they run it back with legit pressure for all three of you better get to the NFC Championship game or beyond next year, or else, right? And then we start to say, well, maybe Micah – injured, obviously. Micah just is never going to end up on great teams, unfortunately, for him, right? And we know how great he's a Hall of Fame player. Like, all of these things are going to come into fruition if they lose early in the playoffs, and especially if they end up playing the Bears and they lose to the Bears. I mean, there are legit conversations that we're having that feel absurd as we're having them and justified and stunning that they even are in existence right now.
Yeah, and the bottom line, as I said to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, is that none of us really knows what Ed Policy is thinking. All I can say is that he grew up around the 49ers and his dad fired Bill Walsh. Right? And if
won a Super Bowl with George Seifert.
Correct. Yes. And so
you say that fired Bill Walsh, it rightfully sounds unbelievably drastic. Period, next sentence. And it worked.
Right.
For a year.
Exactly.
For a year.
Right.
Right? So, like, Jerry Jones fired Tom Landry. Holy crap, he did that? Well, yeah, but then they won 3 Super Bowls, and he also fired Jimmy Johnson. And it worked after that.
Yep.
Not forever, but for the 1 year. And right now the Packers need to figure out this 1 year. For the Green Bay Packers, with the quarterback play they've had, it's been too long since they won a Super Bowl. You know, Gabe brought up the Steelers. The Steelers have not had the quarterback play. Not even close, right? The pressure should be on the Green Bay Packers. There's too many years of assumed great quarterback play without an appearance in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's true. You're not wrong. I thought this was really productive. It was lacking the, certain je ne sais quoi that you and Tausch have when you're together.
Yeah, Gabe brings fun down. And so we've learned that between 7 and 9 every morning.
Ouch.
And then every other show. How many other shows are you doing today for real, Gabe?
So I've got Freddie and Harry, myself and Matt Jones. And then we've got Marquette Basketball tonight.
Oh, my God. You aren't kidding. He really is doing this. Jeez,
mm-hmm.
Gabe.
Yep.
Gabe, we've talked about this. This is, I'm going to have to call Gabe later now. This is a problem.
I'm hosting with Brust. My day is harder.
Oh, you're there?
What's up?
Are you like Alex Strope and you're making demands as to who you can and can't host with? Is that what I heard?
If I was, I wouldn't be hosting with Brust this afternoon. I can tell you that much.
So I know Jason hates Brust. Does everyone else hate Brust?
Like everyone? Yes.
I like Bunny. I'm a big fan of Bunny.
I love Ben. People that don't like Ben Brust, it's Jason Wilde, Alex Strope, Jesse Nelson, who else?
Everyone, except Gabe, apparently.
No, and me. I love Ben.
Okay, both of you. Yep.
Yeah.
Again, I did not love Ben when he came to camp in an Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey.
I don't think Bo Ryan likes him.
Bo Ryan definitely likes him.
I think that's well documented.
At his wedding.
That's fair. Huh?
Do you know that, Jason? Hmm. That Ben sat me right next to Bo Ryan?
I did not. That's because he didn't invite Dick Bennett, I assume.
Well, that's one of the reasons, I guess.
I think that's funny that he sat you next to Bo Ryan. I think that's hilarious.
Did Bo think it was hilarious?
Bo was actually. By the end of the night, I was ready to run through a wall. I'm running the swing offense by the end of the night.
Evan, this was fun. We appreciate you. Thanks.
Not that fun, but okay. All
good
right.
luck against Tennessee fun. On Sunday.
Good luck what?
Good luck at Tennessee on Sunday.
I don't even get what that means.
Liam Cohen.
Jacksonville's playing Tennessee. Come on,
I was very
keep up.
Confused. I'm like, the Patriots have the Dolphins. What's the matter with you?
That's Mike the head Vrabel coach of the Jaguars. Come on. Sportsmanlike. Evan Vrabel. We appreciate him joining us every week from Unsportsmanlike. Oh, boy. I didn't realize what was coming up here. It's time for our Iron Jock contest.
Yeah. Last one of the year.
I, of course, am now put in the position where do I do an homage to the guy who usually tells you about Iron Jock and stick Jesse with a very large number for our caller, or do I do something nice? Well, let me think about that while I tell you that Taush has worn just about every type of workout there is, and nothing compares to Iron Jock. I've got my Iron Jock gear as well. They've been great to us, and their performance apparel is built to fight sweat, odor, and bacteria, keeping you feeling fresh no matter how hard you push. And now, Iron Jock is introducing four new lightweight hoodies. These hoodies are world-class with cooling, wicking, and four-way stretch. Go to ironjock.com to get your hoodie today. That's ironjock.com. But right now, you can win an Iron Jock tumbler if you are caller. We're going to talk about Rashawn Gary. He's not a high snap count guy, but he would love a tumbler. So we're going to do caller 52 in honor of Rashawn Gary. Caller 52 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 52 wins a free Iron Jock tumbler from Iron Jock. More with Gabe Neitzel as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Taush.
This is Wilde and Taush, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks to Liam Cohen
Duval
for joining us. Gabe, you got a text message on the Carbless Talk and text line you wanted to get to in reaction to our conversation with Evan.
This coming from Jen in Wausau. Why is Engabare calling out guys? Why isn't Jordan Love? I feel like a lot of the issues stem from Love not being a leader and not knowing how to lead. When you hear that, Jason, what's your reaction?
I think, in
the short term, I would say, well, Jordan wasn't playing in this particular game, so
sure.
I think it'd be tough for him, but I think there's some larger points about him not being a leader or not knowing how to lead.
Yeah, his leadership style is not in your face like Aaron Rodgers could be. Aaron Rodgers, for all the criticism he took, and some of it very much deserved, he did lead different guys in different ways. He did understand that. And I think people lose sight of that. They think of the arms going up and screaming at guys, and that's how they envision his leadership. That said, Jordan Love is definitely different that way. I would say that in this instance specifically, like, it's Kingsley and Igbaré because there were guys half-assing it on defense. Like, I think if Jordan Love saw guys half-assing it on offense, I think he would probably have no problem saying something. That's what I would.
Well, I think that's
the feeling I get.
And I think of a conversation we had on Green Bay game day, Jason, where I made the comment of how I haven't necessarily been disappointed in Matthew Golden. I've been disappointed in the way he's been used. But you brought up something that the quarterback said about him, about how he's developed and that he's running better routes, he's running the right routes, you know, kind of hinting at, okay, maybe early the season he wasn't, but good on him for getting that right, and now he's more ready to be a more regular contributor to the offense. And, of course, now Jordan's been out for a game and a half, and Matthew Golden's production hasn't really stepped up. So we'll have to wait and see if that, you know, suddenly factors into the postseason. But I think there are some of those. Again, I don't think that was a criticism of Matthew Golden. It was more praise. But again, the praise is also based in, hey, he wasn't ready earlier this season.
Right. It is criticism wrapped in praise, which I think is part of how he operates. So I think that's on brand. Just like winning for you if you've been injured is on brand for Gruber offices. They're the best in the business. 40 years they've been doing it. You don't pay for the consultation. You don't pay for the call. When they win your case, yes, then there's a cost. But until then, you need to have the right team on your team if you've been injured. And that is Gruber offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber offices. One call, that's all. We've got some catching up to do before Brian Bulaga is scheduled to appear. We'll continue in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Taush.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.